Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a tragedy that people live their entire life and never accomplish what God wanted them to accomplish. Live their whole life through and never finally fulfill the eternal purposes of God that He had for their life. What a tragedy in the church for people to come year after year and month after month and week after week and never really surrender their lives totally to the Lord and never become filled with His Spirit as He has planned and wants them to, and finally never do fit into the place that God has for them. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan. His plan won't be your plan. He has a plan, an eternal plan, a plan of power and of blessing and of anointing. What a tragedy. At the end of the day, as the Bible describes, there are people who are going to be saved, who all of their life's work will be burned up. All that they did in life will mean nothing. They'll barely make heaven. It doesn't need to be that way. God doesn't want it to be that way. Satan would like it. If you're saved, then the next thing, he doesn't want you to be a blessing. He doesn't want you to have God's power. He wants you to choose your own way. But God has a better way. God has a plan for your life. You can never experience that plan without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can't fulfill what God has for you without His Spirit. It takes His power and His Spirit. And that's His purpose. God Almighty's internal purpose for you is that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God can direct your life and anoint your life and take you and bring to pass His plan for your life and see His work fulfilled in your life. Praise God. It's so interesting. And people can read the Bible and never catch on and listen to what God is saying so powerfully and over in this New Testament. In Matthew, the 3rd chapter and the 11th verse, John the Baptist is introducing Jesus Christ. He was the one to introduce Christ to the world, to the Jewish nation, and which would be also to the world. And here's how he introduces him. I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me, who's greater than I am, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to stoop down and untie or tie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's introduced when Jesus Christ was introduced to this world by John the Baptist, who was the forerunner, who came. His introduction was, I baptize with water. But hallelujah, there's one coming after me that's mightier than I am, and He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Somebody say fire.
Fire.
Say it loud.
Fire.
Fire. He wants to baptize you. That's His introduction. That's when He came. That's what He came to do, save you. John introduces Him as the Lamb. He came as the Lamb, but He came also equally as the baptizer. First the Lamb, and second the great baptizer. Hallelujah. All through His life, He spoke of it frequently, and He said these things. And I'd like to skip, first of all, to the very last thing that He said. In Acts 1:8, He says it, and let me just turn to it, if I may, and read it for you. Right? Acts 1:8, praise God. And they said, they had asked Him, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and your kingdom being restored? And he said in the 7th and 8th verses, it is not for you to know times and seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power. Say power. Power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses unto me. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, and to the uttermost parts of the world. You, the last thing he said, his introduction, how he's introduced, and the last thing, the last words out of the mouth of Jesus before he's ascended in the book of Acts, the first chapter of the book of Acts, and after that it says he watched him as he was ascending. His closing words, his introduction, his life, his closing words were, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses, ambassadors unto me, right here in Jerusalem, in our neighboring Samaria, and unto Judea, the whole land, and to the ends of the earth. God has called you to be something for him, to stand out, to stand apart, to be filled with his Spirit. And he's got a plan for you. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And he wants to take you and turn you into somebody that you never dreamed you could be. He is that great. Hallelujah. What a tragedy. What a tragedy that we choose our own way. And we decide what we want to do and what we want to be, and we think that's the best. No, that's infinitely less than God wants for you. God has a plan. He has a plan for you from eternity's morning, before the foundation of the world, before he spoke and the stars came, and he formed the sun and the moon. Before that world ever came into existence, he saw down through eternity, and he saw you. He saw you right here in this church. He knew you. He knew you. And he chose you, and he called you out on the world, and he set you apart, and he said, I've got a plan for that man and that woman, that young man, that young woman, that old man. He's got a plan for the young and a plan for the old. He's got a plan for everybody. Hallelujah. And it's a great plan. And that plan can only be realized if you receive the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and his direction in your life. That's what it's all about. Incredible. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, praise God. Jesus said to his disciples in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, praise God. He says, the Holy Spirit is with you, but he shall be in you. Praise God. Praise God. He is with you, but he shall be in you. I think I ought to turn and read that to you just to make sure we get it. Praise God. John's Gospel, that is the 14th chapter of John. John 14. That's great. Praise God. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. He's another comforter, and he's going to be with you. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. They never know anything about this experience, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. He is with you and will be in you. He was never in people, other than a couple of exceptions, Elizabeth and a couple others. He was never in anybody until after Calvary. All of these Old Testament men and prophets had the Spirit resting on them. It came upon them. And he said to the disciples, he is with you. He comes upon you. He's with you. But he is not just going to be with you. He is going to come in you. When I baptize you with the Holy Spirit, he's going to come in you and take up his abode, and he's going to dwell in you, and you're going to be filled with my Spirit. Hallelujah. You're going to be a vessel. Now, it was not until after the cross, after Calvary, Jesus said when he went to the Father, now that he's cleansed us and purchased us with his blood, now we have the privilege of another experience. Now, he says, the Holy Spirit will come within you. Now you are bought with a price. Hallelujah. You are not your own. He has bought you with a price. And now he wants to put his Spirit within you. Within you. Hallelujah. Say within me. Within me. And he wants me to be filled with his Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that is another experience. That is his whole purpose. He created you with the thought of you being a vessel, of you being a vessel for God Almighty's Spirit. He is going to take over this body, and he's going to take over this mind, and he's going to take over your talent, and then the talents you don't have and he wants you to have, he's going to give them to you by the Spirit, and he's going to empower you, and you're going to become a mighty power and an anointed witness and an ambassador for the Lord to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. What an awesome privilege. But we choose our own way. You see, he wants you to be, not only you're going to be an ambassador, but you are going to be part of the body of Christ. We partook of the Holy Communion tonight. And he said, now you, that little part that you took represents you. You are part of the body of Jesus Christ. Paul's in that great chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. The whole chapter is on the Holy Spirit. The whole chapter is about the Holy Spirit. And he wants you to be a place in his body. He has a plan. And the Holy Spirit will put you in the place, in the body of Christ that he wants you to fill. That's what the whole chapter is. He's got a place for you in the body. He's got a ministry for you. And you are going to be part of Christ in this world. You are part of the incredible, invisible body of Jesus Christ. Paul says, by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. The Holy Spirit's baptism baptizes you into the body of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And you are part of his body. And he says in that chapter, he wants to give you gifts. He wants to change your life. He wants to turn you into somebody else and to make you what he dreamed of your being. And you have natural talent, but then he gives you spiritual gifts and spiritual impartation that perform and turn you into the person he wants you to be. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He has a place. He knows where you fit. He knows where you belong. He knows what he wants to do with you. Now, maybe it'll help by my just sharing my own experience. We are vessels. We are a vessel to be filled with the Spirit. It says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It filled them. But in order to be full of the Spirit, you have to be empty of yourself. You can't be full of two things. You have to get empty of your own ideas and your own ambitions and your own deriving and directing your life. You have to surrender your life over to Him. Empty yourself of your own plans and let Him put His Spirit within you and bring to pass His plan and His desire for your life. You have to get empty before you can get full. There's a great illustration in the Old Testament where it was Elijah or Elisha, I don't remember which one it was, that had went to the woman and says, bring the empty vessels in your house. All your earthen vessels, bring them to me, and I will fill them with this oil. Hallelujah. And you can sell that oil and pay your debts and do the work that needs to be done, and you'll be sustained by it. That's a picture of us. We are empty earthen vessels, but you can only bring empty vessels to be filled. Bring empty vessels that He can fill you. Now, you have to empty yourself in prayer and submission, and then God will fill you. Hallelujah. For an example, to help you understand this, and because it's the way it is. God called me to preach the gospel. I hate to say this, that I didn't want to. I did not want to be a minister. I dreaded it more than anything you can think of, because I was raised poor. And when I say this, it's the truth. We were so poor that the poor people thought we were poor. That's how poor we were. The poor people said, now, if you want to see poor people, they're the poor ones. They're the poor people. Right. You see, I was raised with no father, which, when in that day and age, it was really looked down on. And people would scorn, would ask me, and where is your father? What does your father do? Well, I didn't know where he was. I didn't know what he did. I'd heard what he did, but I'd never met him. And I didn't know him, didn't know where he was. And it was very embarrassing. And we were the poorest folks of our relatives, the very poorest. My relatives were substantial people with funds, doctors, lawyers, very successful people, but we had nothing. I can never forget. One of the things I wanted the most as a boy was a bicycle. All of my friends in that town had bicycles, and the boys, I never had a bicycle. We couldn't afford one. I never got one. I wanted a bicycle so bad. You really needed it because we're in the country and you really needed one. I had to walk. We had no bicycle. I couldn't get one. It was never did have one in my life. Never did. Just to give you an idea, I can remember the fall of the year one time. Now, in the summertime, a lot of it, we all went barefoot. It was the Depression. That was not a bad thing in the country, in a small town, in the village where I lived. But in the fall of the year, everybody got clothes and got shoes. I can remember, I got some shoes eventually, but I didn't have any shoes. It's hard to believe this, but I would sit on Sunday and put my feet under the pew in front of me, so nobody would see that I didn't have shoes. Because, you know, it was so embarrassing. You don't have any shoes. You don't have, everybody's got shoes on, and you were in barefooted. So all these things made me dislike the thought of I'm going to have to be a minister, even though God wants me to be. I said, God, I'd love to serve you, but I want to get some money. And I want to be successful, and I want shoes, and I want clothes, and I don't want to live like this. I hate this lifestyle, and I want. And my folks, a lot of them were Baptists, and we were Pentecostal. But, plus being poor, we were Pentecostal on top of it, you know. And I said, I want to come out. I can identify with folks that want out of where you are and down at the bottom. That's where I was. So I did not want to preach. I wanted to be successful in life and to go to school, and I wanted to make some money, and I wanted to justify my mother. I believed in her and I believed in it, but I wanted to show them that I could do it even though I came from the bottom. And I was determined to be a success. And then the Lord said, I want you to preach. And I didn't have a good idea of who preachers were, because most of them in the Depression that I knew were poor. And I didn't want that lifestyle. And I can remember that I could not be powerful or successful as a Christian till I made that surrender. But I can remember, I went to Bible school, and still, well, I go to Bible school, but I still hadn't committed my life to God. But I can remember the night that I fell on my face and I cried, broken heart, and I gave up those plans and I gave up that idea of success, and I cried out to God and I prayed to God and sought God in a lot of tears and tore down that idea of what I could be, and gave my life to God. And it was powerful. It was a powerful experience. But then after that, I received the Holy Spirit. Then I kept praying for the Holy Spirit. Now, if you could understand this tonight, if you could understand that along with that poverty, I had gotten a tremendous complex, an inferiority complex. I was so no father, the least in the family. My brother Joe was a great speaker and was very talented, and I'd had none of that, and no one thought I could do anything, and I didn't think I could either. And so we were all convinced on that, and I was along with them. And when I went to Bible school, my oldest brother said to me, now, Ben, it's good for you to go to Bible school. That's a wonderful thing, but you know you can't preach, and I know you can't, and you know you never will. But Bible school is still good for you, but it's impossible for you to be a minister. It just can't be done. You don't have it. And I didn't have it. But you see, I can never forget that night that God baptized me with the Holy Spirit and filled me with the power of God. And it changed my life. And the power of God came on me and I rose. Now, I never testified once in Bible school. I never stood up. I spoke in class only when I was called on to speak. I never stood up once. I couldn't. I had such a complex. But my last year, God filled me with the Holy Spirit one night. And then I was called on to speak in chapel, and I rose. And when I did, the power of God came upon me, and I spoke outside of myself and beyond myself. And I spoke, and I lost the fear of people, and I lost the fear of an audience. And the power came on me, and I spoke beyond my ability. And God gave me an ability through the Holy Spirit. And He said, I called you. I can do it for you. Now let me tell you tonight, when I stand here tonight, I stand here because the Holy Spirit is true. And what God says, He can do. He wants to take you and give you talent and put His power on you and turn you around and lift you up and make you into somebody that He wants you to be. Let's praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. So when you see me, you see somebody that is the result of the Holy Spirit. He said you will receive power. It doesn't matter who you are, how humble you are, or what your talents are. God Almighty can touch your life and turn you around and send you out and make you what He wants you to be. Hallelujah! He wants to direct your life. He's got a plan. He wants to send you. I'm going to send people. There's folks in here tonight. If you would surrender that God in this hour will do mighty things. The powers of darkness are incredible in this world, but the power of God is greater. And he said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I'm going to, when Satan's power increases, my power will increase on my church. Hallelujah. He wants to touch you, give you gifts, make you into what he dreamed of your being. You become somebody else. You become the anointed person. He wants to give you ministries in prayer, in the spirit, in witnessing, in understanding. He's got to direct your life. See, he will direct you. I haven't got time to tell it all, but let me tell you, God will direct you. My mother, God directed my mother, 50-some years old, praying. I'll never forget the prayer meeting in North Carolina. My uncle had given us a place to live. She's in her 50s now. And the Holy Spirit says, go north. Leave everything. And it just shocked my uncle and her other brother, her other uncle. One was an attorney, one a Baptist minister, both of them Baptists. And God shocked them. And they saw their sister, their youngest sister, who was Pentecostal, and God spoke to her, and they said, well, she's like Abraham. If God said go to the ends of the earth, she'd go. And she did. And she packed her trunk and headed north and wound up in a couple of years in a terrible slum store under the elevator in Brooklyn. I went to see her my last year in Bible school, and I said, where in the world has God sent my mother? But I remember the prayer meeting when he said go north. That's the only way. It's an incredible story. Incredible. How she left everything, dropped everything, packed a trunk, moved out, moved away, left, and wound up in Brooklyn under the elevator, 902 McDonald Avenue. I went to see her. The last store, a garbage dump next to the last store, a garbage dump out the end of the war. She killed 20-some rats that first winter she was in that store. She became a trapper. By God, hallelujah. The only problem was there was no money in it. You couldn't sell their furs. And the store was a terrible mission of old wooden broken chairs, little old folding chairs. And a boy that went to the mental institution had painted a sign, and it looked like it because it said, God so loved the world, and the paint all ran down on the sign. A weeping sign, no less, you know. And the rug was terrible. It smelled terrible. It really did. I'm not exaggerating one bit. And I saw my mother, and she met me smiling from ear to ear like she was living in Fifth Avenue. And she smiled. And she said, God's going to do a great thing here. Hallelujah. I said, he sure could. Praise God. There's that potential. But he did. Folks, he did. Incredible, the stories, the miracles that God did. Because of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit had a plan. God wanted to take her out of that comfortable setting and bring her to a mission in New York. And as a result, I came and my wife came and we stayed there 40 years and God did miracles because somebody was full of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost says, get out of here and get out of this comfortable setting and get up there to a mission where I can reach the lost. Hallelujah. And reach people. Some years ago, he'll lead you. Incredibly, if you're yielded to him and you're listening to him, and he's within you, directing you. I was praying, I was preaching in St. John's, New Brunswick, Canada. And there's a wonderful church, a large church, and I was preaching there, but we had no meeting on Saturday night. And all day I was praying, walking and praying outside the yard, praying and walking around the house and praying where I was staying. And the Holy Spirit said, go to the Salvation Army. They were having special meetings, I'd heard, in the Salvation Army. Now, I had never been to the Salvation Army before nor since. Never. I love the Salvation Army. Nothing against them. I just wasn't from there, and we had no connection. So that night, but God spoke to me so clear in the afternoon. Go to the Salvation Army. I went to the Salvation Army meeting. I sat in the back because there had been ads in the paper about my speaking at the Pentecostal church in town. I wasn't coming there to do to proselyte or anything else. I was coming because the Holy Ghost said go. I didn't know why. It was a good meeting. They sang, and it was a good crowd. And the man gave the minister, the evangelist, gave an invitation for folks to come forward, get saved, and nobody came. Nobody. So I said, I'm going to slip out because I don't want folks to see me here and think I'm here for the wrong reason, because I'm not here. I love these people and pray for them and bless them. Walking out, I thought, boy, that's strange. I know God spoke to me and nothing happened. I'm walking out just a short distance. There was an alley. And in the alleyway, there was a young man dressed immaculately in a nice suit and white shirt and tie and sitting there on a box crying terribly. And I thought, that's a strange sight. I walked by him. I felt to speak to him. But, you know, if you come from New York, you don't speak to people in alleys. That's just not how it's done, you know. But the Spirit, as I walked past him, said, you go speak to that man. I turned around. I walked back and I said, young man, I put my hand on his shoulder. Why are you crying? What's wrong? Why are you crying so? He looked up, tears running down his face. He said, I need God. I could smell he was drinking. He was drinking. And he said, but I need God. I said, well, I'm here to help you. He said, I ought to have been in that meeting tonight, pointing to the Salvation Army. He said, I should have been there. I needed it. But he said, I go, and when I go to the altar, somebody comes to me as soon as I get and said, Bram, old boy, get up, take it by faith, and go home, and they send me home. And he said, I don't have anything. I need God, he said. Well, I said, come with me. I said, I'll go with you, and I'll go down to the altar with you. And when anybody starts sending you away, I'll refuse to let them. I won't let them send you away. I'll stay there and pray with you till you get God, till you get a hold of God. Well, he said, would you go with me? I said, yes, I'll go with you. So I took him, and Bram and I walked together. I had to help him a little bit. He's a little drunk. So we walked back, and he's still singing. And as we walked down the aisle in the Salvation Army, people begin to cry. People burst out in tears, crying when Bram and I walked down the aisle. And then he fell on the floor and we started praying. I knelt down side of him and we were praying. And then several of the officers of the army came around us and began to pray. And we started praying. In about 5 minutes or so, one of the men came to us and said, now, Bram, old boy, get up, take it by faith. And just like he said, now you've got it. And he stood up and he fell flat on his face, screaming, crying out loud, and said, I don't have anything. I need God. I need God. And I said, now don't send him away anymore. I spoke to the man. I said, let him pray. So we kept praying, and anybody got up, I said, no, 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 down, down, pray. No talking, no getting up, stay right here with Bram. I took over. Everybody went home. Everybody went home but a 4 or 5 of us around this Bram praying for him. And when the man stood up, he came to me, he says, I just got to ask you something. He said, where are you from? I said, does it matter? He said, no. I said, no. Well, I said, you know, you kind of taken over. I said, am I doing the right thing? Yeah, yeah, you're doing the right thing. Well, I said, keep still and just stay with it. What I tell you to do, just do it. Praise God. So we kept on praying. And then finally the sexton came to me. He saw now that I was in charge. So he came to me And he said, look, I got to lock up. I got to go home. It's late. I said, can't we go downstairs and pray while you close the upstairs? He said, yes. So I announced we're all going downstairs and pray. So we went down in the basement and we're praying. And while we're in the basement, Bram gets sober. Now he's really praying. And God was touching him. And we're all praying. Everybody's praying. And then the sexton comes to me and he says, I got to close this place up. So I asked all the men standing there. I said, does anybody here got a home we can go into and keep praying? When the Salvation Army says, come to my house. So we got into two cars and we drove through St. John's and we went to this man's house, an old English house. I'll never forget it. A linoleum floor and an old pipe organ on one side, a real old-fashioned Canadian house. And we gathered around in the middle and began to pray. And now it's around maybe 10:30 or so, 11 o'clock. We're praying. And in about 10 or 15 minutes, the little girl came. I don't know who she is. I later learned it's Bram's daughter. She comes. She's about 10, and she says, crying. She says, pray for me. I want to get saved tonight. And so we pray for her, and she gets saved. And she kneels down and starts praying. And in a few minutes, a young lady comes. I don't know who that was. Later, I learned it was Bram's wife. She comes and says, pray for me. I want to come back to Jesus tonight. I want God. She comes down and she gets saved. Praise God. Well, we're having a tremendous prayer meeting. People are praying. And we kept on praying. About 1 o'clock in the morning, old Bram's hands shot up in the air and he shouted, I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. Jesus Christ saved me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got it. Praise God. And praise God. And somebody else. And then I felt such a joy. And the mother says, come over here and pray for me. I'm a cripple, but maybe God will heal me. So we all go over and pray for the mother. And we're praising God. And I felt like speaking in tongues. And I thought, maybe that'll spoil it. These are all Salvation Army. I said, well, the damage is already done. I said, I'll speak in tongues. I started speaking in tongues. And you know, I listen to the Salvation Army officer. He's speaking in tongues. So here we are, speaking in tongues, praising God at 2 in the morning. Come to find out, the man's house is Bram's father. Bram's father has prayed and prayed and prayed for his son. Now his son is praising God. So we had an incredible meeting. They're hugging each other and praising God. And then I said, now listen, folks, I'm speaking at the Pentecostal church. Don't anybody come there in the morning. You go to your church. Don't you dare come to that church. You go and thank God in the Salvation Army. I never came here for that. I came here to help Bram and to pray through with you folks. And you go there and praise God tomorrow morning in your own church. But tomorrow night, you don't have a meeting. If you want to visit us, you can all come. Praise God. So, Sunday night, I stood up, and across the balcony were all these Salvation Army people. And old Bram waved them, and the father all waved. Nobody knew what we were waving at. I'm waving back, and they're waving back and forth. Hallelujah. And we praised God. I came home. I got a letter. It said, dear pastor, thank you for stopping and praying with me in that alleyway that night. I was an alcoholic. I had lost my job. My wife had left me. My home was destroyed. I was destroyed. But that night, God saved me and delivered me from alcohol and set me free, brought my wife and I back together. I've got a job. I'm working. I'm serving God. My home is established, and we're praising God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. He wants you to have the Holy Spirit. He will do great things in your life. Some of you He'll send to the ends of the earth. Some of you he'll use right where you are. Others he'll place in different places. Let me tell you, there is no substitute for the Holy Spirit. There is no substitute for God's power. Intelligence won't do it. Talent is not the answer. Although we appreciate talent, that's not the answer. It's not programs, it's not schemes, it's not systems. It's the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you're going to be a witness here, there, everywhere, where you work, in your home, overseas. He's going to make you a light and give us the power. Father, send down the power. Fill the people. Let us receive the Spirit. Yield ourselves to you. Empty out of self. And get full of the Spirit and see what God will do with your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am nothing special. It's the Holy Spirit that's special. He wants you to have it. He wants you to be powerful. He wants you to be anointed. And if you'll let Him and empty yourself, He'll be glad to come in. Hallelujah. He said He wants you. He said, earthly parents, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will God give the Holy Spirit if you'll ask Him? Ask tonight. I'm going to ask the pastor to come and lead us in prayer that God fills us with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise God. Folks, God has been speaking to us tonight. You know, I was thinking as Pastor Ben was sharing, you know, before Pentecost came the cross, and that's what emptying yourself is all about. It's coming to the cross, as he was sharing. It's surrendering every battle, every struggle. It's laying down unforgiveness tonight. The Apostle Peter said in Acts chapter 5, he said this, the Holy Spirit is given by God to those who obey Him, those who are willing to obey God, those who are willing to say yes, God, those who are willing to call sin what God calls it. He said, how can two walk together unless they agree? If you agree with God tonight, if you're willing to lay these things down, if you're willing to say yes to God, to surrender everything to Him, all your struggles, all your battles, everything to Him, if you're willing to agree with God tonight, you can walk with God tonight. He will fill you with the Holy Spirit. He'll bring freedom. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke tonight. Let's stand to our feet all over this house, main floor and the balcony. Get to this altar tonight. Let God fill you tonight. If you're hungry for more of Jesus, you've got to come and lay these things down. You've got to be willing to agree with God tonight and to say yes to His will and to His way. You've got to be willing to come and to surrender tonight. This is your night for a miracle. Some of you, you find yourself stagnant. You find yourself in one particular place, and God is wanting to take you to another level of ministry, another level as a witness. He's wanting to give you authority in your home once again. He's wanting to give you a witness, authority on the job once again, authority in your school, authority in your community. It's the anointing that they go hand in hand, that authority. Tonight, we're going to worship Him tonight, and I want to encourage you, even as you come to this altar, just begin to talk to God. Tell Him why you've come. If you need to lay something down, you just begin to lay down your struggles, lay down your battles tonight. If you've got hurt, folks, if you're hurt tonight because of something that took place, begin to acknowledge that before Him. You might have come here tonight, and maybe you have a grievance against God tonight. You have a grievance against God. You lay that down tonight. By faith, you begin to lay it down. The devil is a liar. God has never failed you. He never will. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His plan was always higher than what you could ever imagine or think tonight. You lay those things down tonight, and God's going to heal you, and then He's going to fill you with His Holy Spirit, and you're going to find a liberty and a freedom in your ministry like never before. Let's worship Him tonight. Hallelujah. 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 As as they continue to play that in the background, I just want you to just begin to talk to God. If you've got issues, if you've got things you need to begin to lay down, the Holy Spirit knows those things. You know those things. He's put a finger on those things. Just begin to pray right now. Just begin to talk to God. You open your mouth. He's not going to force you. You open your mouth. You begin to talk to your God and tell him why you've come. If you've got unforgiveness, you need to lay down. If you've been harboring things, if you've got unconfessed sin, you just begin to lay it down. If you've got your own plans, your own agenda, your own dreams, you begin to lay those things down. God's plan is greater than your plan could ever be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just talk to him as we worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.